Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome.
Welcome
to the Haunted Estate.
Hello and welcome to The Haunted Estate, here with me, your host, Selena Myers, aka Selena Spooky Boo, that weird girl from TikTok who does weird things. Anyways, welcome back. I'm really excited for this episode because this is some never heard before super confidential information between me and you. We are going to be reading chapter one of my book, which is really scary for me, kind of putting it out there. I feel like it doesn't give away too much, but definitely gets you pulled into the story, which is super, super exciting. But let's talk about a few things first. First, you probably, if you're watching the visual, you notice that there is a lump on my desk. This is my new desk puppy. This is Molly. She's not a puppy. She is 9 years old, but she is the sweetest little bean in the whole world, and she loves to just be with her mom. So I think she's going to be on every podcast. So you, right now, listening to the audio, know that in front of me is a little dog, a virtual dog for you to pet. Reach your hand out. Reach it out. Don't feel silly. Pet the air. You're petting Molly, and she likes it, and that's great. But in other dog news, I have to tell you really quick, because this won't be out on Thursday. We are recording this on Sunday. By the time you hear this, my TikTok will be flooded by puppy content because it has been months in the making, but we are having a new puppy come. Very weird story. First, her name is Gucci, and she is the sweetest bean in the entire world. I was literally scrolling TikTok, and I saw this woman. Her name is Lauren. She is freaking amazing. She like helps run this rescue called Poet in America. If you don't know, I am Canadian, about an hour away from Toronto. She went into a hoarding situation, over 100 dogs. When I talk about what you think of a hoarding situation with dogs, that is what this was like. Like, I'm talking huge mats, horrible situation. Anyways, I went deep. I got into the scroll. I can't not get into the scroll when puppies are involved. And I might have commented, hey, do you have any black puppies? And they showed me one, and it was an identical dog to my little Molly that we have right here. And in that moment, my heart melted, and I was like, I don't need a dog. And Adam was like, you don't need a dog. But then my brain did what brain does and was like, you need this dog. So it's been really hard because of COVID and stuff. We haven't been able to get her over. So she's on the older age of a puppy here, but she is coming over. And I feel, you know, I was always a person who's like, I'm going to get an older dog, but you know what? She needed a home too. Every single dog in our house is senior, and I'm really excited for there to be some new energy around here. I know our oldest dog, Max, we've gotten some bad news about him lately, but he loves puppies, and I just can't wait to see him light up and just get another, just another poof of life in him. I think it's going to be exciting. So another little fluffy black puppy coming hopefully tonight. We're going to be like probably going out in the dead middle of the night to get this dog from the border. So wish us luck on that. Hopefully I haven't jinxed things and Thursday comes and she is here and nothing tragic did happen. But guys, today is important. We are going to be reading chapter one of my book. A lot of people still don't know that I am a writer, and I do a lot of my writing live on TikTok. people would watch and they're like, what is she doing? She's not talking to us. And it's because I was writing. And I did. I wrote a book called Hollow and it is not out yet. We are working on editing, but I am so excited. My books are very serious. None of them are funny. I love spooky stuff. Obviously, you are listening to The Haunted Estate, and I am Selena Spooky Boo. I know that most of my content is comedy, but ghosts are my whole life. Spooky stuff is my whole life, and there's nothing I love more than vampires. So, of course, this book is about vampires. Adam, I have to ask you. You know I've written for years. What is your favorite book of mine?
Probably Clandestine House.
Yeah? What's your favorite about it?
I don't know. It was just the story, like the way the story brought you along. It kept you guessing. It was intricately wrote in the aspect that there was aha moments and you didn't know what was going on and you didn't realize she was in certain places or maybe certain realms or it was really cool.
And that big dirty twist at the end.
Yeah. It was awesome.
I even like rewriting the part. That probably is my favorite book. People like that I've spoken to, like people will buy all the books and they're like, Clandestine House is it. I've even had like directors reach out at a point and be like, this needs to be a movie. And I'm like, yeah, I totally think so. I agree. So hopefully one day Clandestine House will be. A lot of people have asked me to like continue the story of Clandestine House. I definitely left it open-ended. It could be a whole thing, kind of like Hell House, do you know what I mean?
Yep,
on Netflix.
Sure.
Anyways, Hollow is written to be the first of a series. I should, you know, okay, my first book, The Home Reader Paranormal Journey, was all of like my ghost stories, how I got into the world of the paranormal. Then there was Clandestine House, fun story, wrote it in like 6 days, listening to Billie Eilish, Bury a Friend on repeat, totally inspired. Blackwick Falls, but now this book, which I have never been so proud of something in my whole life. It is my longest book, and a lot went into it. It took over a year to write, which was a bit different for me, but I feel like I evolved as a person while I was writing it, and I think that kind of shows in the writing. And I have an amazing editor, Lynette, and she has just helped me build this into something absolutely amazing and beautiful. And it's one of the things, yeah, I'm anxious about it, just like I am every TikTok video, every Instagram post, everything is terrifying when you put out in the world. Because there's going to be people that don't like that. There's going to be someone who finds a problem with you no matter what's going on. Luckily, it's usually not you that's the problem. It's them. But, you know, it is scary. When you put yourself out there, you're going to get criticism. Do I like reading the reviews on my books? No, I don't. But I look at the stars and they're doing pretty good. So I just hope that that's a good thing. Before I get into reading this, okay, I'll give you a little premise. So, Hollow. It is about a girl named Mia. And vampires. That's all I'm going to say. I know you thought I was going to go deep there, but I don't want to give too much away. You can read the back of the book or, you know, the Amazon description. Also, I have not read out loud in a very long time, except for the other day. Adam was just looking at me. Seriously, I don't know what is up with me lately, but my words are not functioning. See? Adam's like, just slow down, sweetheart. Slow down. So I'm going to try and do that. But yeah, if I mess up, please just ignore it. You're probably going to hear some things that are a little awkward, but I'm doing show and tell time, and this is my sharing season. But also, I know I'm going to get the questions. If you do want to check out all my other books, they are on Amazon. Link in bio everywhere. And also, don't forget Amazon Selena Myers. Just search that. You can find them there. So the book starts, there is a prologue, which I'm not going to read to you. It is literally 7,000 words. It sets up the past. So it's actually set in the 1700s, where the book is actually set in present day. So I'm not going to read you that because that just kind of like gives you some backstory, which I don't want you to have right now. So we're going to jump into chapter one, and I'm probably not going to read you the end little bit because that's just too juicy to handle on the Haunted Estate today. All right, guys, here we go.
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Getting into my good read abilities. Perfect. Chapter 1. The dustied embroidered edges of the curtains that framed Mia's double-paned windows woke her as they moved in smooth ripples across her face. Nearly every morning of her life began this way. No matter the temperatures, Mia was in love with the night and the breeze that it brought. Her mother would storm into her bedroom and slam down the window. No matter how many times her mother asked her to just leave the window be, she couldn't. When Mia was younger, she thought that her mother was more concerned with the energy bills than anything else. She had no idea that there was such a thing as bad people who liked to sometimes crawl through windows and steal little girls. This made zero sense to her, as the people who did make their way into her room didn't need windows, or even a door. They never meant her any harm. And her mother knew this. Her mother also knew that Mia was the only one who could see these people. Her mother, Elizabeth Adair, a world-renowned psychiatrist and leader in the parapsychology community until she was in her early teens, Mia was her mother's most famous case. She was born with the ability to see things and hear things that other people didn't. From the day she started speaking, it was about the people in her bedroom. Seeing these strangers was as normal to Mia as breathing. Sometimes she was visited a few times a week, sometimes every night. Some of these people spoke to her, but most did not. It seemed that just being seen or acknowledged was enough for them. Mia didn't know what happened to the people after they disappeared, but she liked to think that they crossed over into the afterlife. Every so often, someone would ask her to give their loved ones a message, but usually before she could find out their name, they were gone. The spirit disappeared, as if simply being there to hear their final words of love or confessions of wrongdoing was enough to release them from their earthly ties. Elizabeth hated being home ever since her husband Ben was killed in a car accident when Mia was 7 and little Mallory was only 3. She wasn't completely absent from their lives. She just wasn't there as much as a parent should have been. Elizabeth and Ben loved each other fiercely. In the first year after Ben's death, Elizabeth was lost. She had a daughter who could speak to people on the other side, yet the father of her children never came through. Mia and Elizabeth spent countless nights on the living room floor with a room full of candles, but there was no sign of Ben. Mia felt like she was letting her mother down. Elizabeth always reminded her that she wasn't, but the frustration was evident in her eyes. Mia and her father had been exceptionally close, and if he wouldn't have come to her, it meant he had already passed over. That meant no final words for the love of his life, and it left Elizabeth feeling empty. In the years after Mia's father died, Elizabeth Adair often dropped the girls off at Slowburn, the local hybrid coffee bookshop, on weekend mornings so she could meet with various clients over brunch. She'd kiss them on their cheeks and slide them a $5 bill into each girl's hand before taking off in whatever fashionable sedan she was driving that year. The store was one of several, located in an old garment factory. The wooden slats on the floor and the brick walls at the front and the back of the building were original, Scuffs on the hardwood showed where the woman had repeatedly pushed back their chairs over the course of a century. Holes in the beams overhead marked where racks once hung with newly finished blouses and coats. Every corner of the place smelled musty, and every floorboard was slightly offset from its neighbors. The shop rarely carried new releases, specializing more so in weird old books as well as local interest nonfiction. It was the kind of place where they wanted you to enjoy a book with your coffee, not feel pressured to buy. Mia loved to pick out a bizarre title and curl up in one of the overstuffed, mismatched chairs. Her favorite spot was just underneath one of the windows, where a seamstress from an unknown time had scratched TM plus LK into the wood. The initials were faded, but they were like a secret message from the past, a physical reminder of people who had once walked these floors. Mr. Horvath, the owner, had welcomed them wordlessly, as if it was the most natural thing in the world to have two unaccompanied minors spend the day with him on Saturday mornings. He would waddle his way down the road and unlock the doors for both him and the girls, making them a pod of strawberry green tea or perhaps a nice earthy rooibos before flipping the sign open. Most kids would prefer to spend their weekends with friends or scootering around the local strip mall, but not Mia. She was happiest sitting in the chair reading books. Most of the time, she and Mr. Horvath didn't speak. They just existed in the same space until Elizabeth breezed in the door to collect her daughters. As Mia visited the world in the pages of Mr. Horvath's book collection, she found pieces of herself. Mallory outgrew the shop in junior high and spent her weekends hanging out with her friends. But by the time Mia could drive, she was working at Slowburn on Friday evenings and weekend mornings. It seemed to be the only time she stayed out of trouble. She wasn't a delinquent, but when she was bored, she tried desperately to erase the feeling. So sometimes, instead of attending math, she'd end up smoking cigarettes in the basement of the high school under the science wing. When she was supposed to be in history, she was instead making out with someone under the bleachers in the football field. Elizabeth was worried about Mia, but she graduated on time and without an arrest or suspension on her record. School was tedious, but the weekends were less so, thanks to Mr. Horvath and his book collection. Mia looked at her phone. She had exactly 42 minutes before she had to be in her car, heading down the lane towards work. She planned to work at Slowburn through college, but the shop had closed down 6 years ago. Mia didn't want to think about that now. These days, she worked at a bookstore chain, which was the only bookstore in town now. She didn't know at the age of 18 she'd still be working there at 24. It was the kind of job that was only supposed to fill a gap year between high school and college, that magical year where responsibilities were few, and the days were full of a fun part-time job, friends, and drinking. But time just got away from her. After high school, college seemed like a waste of time and money. She had so many dreams and ideas of careers, but no idea of who she really was or what she really wanted to do with the rest of her life. After all, she peaked before puberty and was a household name in the paranormal community even before Elizabeth wrote a book about her 3 years ago. The book itself had become the paranormal community's version of porn. After its publication, Mia started receiving messages from strangers who spent late nights diving deep into the web to find her. Various social media accounts, hoping that she could help them contact their loved ones. Unfortunately for them, she didn't have anything to offer them. Her gift disappeared in the rearview mirror along with her childhood. It was as if becoming a woman was the only thing her soul wanted to focus on. As if, as the curves appear, the voices stopped. It left her feeling a bit useless. A one-hit wonder. It wasn't a bad deal, though. The royalty from Elizabeth's book went straight into Mia's checking account, and her mother traveled the world to speak at paranormal conferences. It was hard for her as an adult to picture the things she witnessed as a child, but she could remember standing beside her mother on a stage in front of thousands. People would come onto the stage when called, and Mia would tell them things about their dead relatives and friends, repeating what she was told by spirits that no one else could see. She watched them look longingly for their loved ones, the living people standing in front of them with tear-filled eyes before fading away. One of her most vivid memories, however, was the accident. It was a warm August morning when Mia was 10 years old that her mother explained to both her and Mallory what bad people were. Not realizing the fear she was instilling in her oldest daughter. That afternoon, when her mother left to take Mallory to her dance lesson, Mia swiftly pulled on her red rubber boots and rummaged around the dilapidated shed that should have fallen summers ago, in search of the antique fox trap that her father had hidden in the back corner. Mission accomplished. Mia carried the metal jaws out into the high sun of the afternoon and stood beneath her gabled bedroom window. There was no way to get in without using a ladder. Nevertheless, she bent back the sides of the metal with her tiny fingers, clicking the fastener into the rusty hole. She placed the trap in the garden under the window and took some leaves to cover any tiny bits of metal that were rusted and could potentially reflect the moonlight. She took a few steps back to observe what in her mind was a foolproof plan that would keep her and her little sister safe. That night, as the warm summer breeze rolled over her uncovered skin, she slept deeply and without dreams. But the next morning she was awoken not by the curtains drifting over her face, but by the loudest howl she had ever heard. She flew out of bed and stuck her head through the window. Below was Mr. Charles, the gardener, writhing on the ground in agony. The 72-year-old neighbor had lived on a few acres of land next door and had been helping take care of the Adair property since Ben died. "No!" Mia cried out as she saw the trap gnawing at the man's left ankle like a shark. "How did I forget Mr. Charles?" she thought as she took the stairs three at a time. She had dialed 911 from the hall phone before her mother stumbled out of her room in confusion. That was the dream Mia woke up with today. The memories of that horrific day, the accident, as she always referred to it in her mind, living in her head and playing like a movie on repeat. Ugh. Mia kicked the sheets off in the warm breeze. Kicked the sheets off as the warm breeze already promised a scorcher of the day. She took one step out of her bed to close the window, which made a groan as she struggled to push it into place. As she flipped back the latch, She stared down at the spot she had seen Mr. Charles lying that long ago morning. She almost expected him to still be laying there, his arms reached up into the sky as if God himself was about to reach down and help him. Her dream usually ended with Mr. Charles' face blanched in pain, and now her mind was forced to recall the week that followed the accident. When Mr. Charles' ankle fell, it shattered. And he also shattered his hip as he fell on one of the field stones that rested untouched around the yard. That morning was the last that Mr. Charles would see anything but the yellow hospital walls. From her bedroom window, Mia could see Mrs. Charles as she walked to her door for the first 6 mornings after the accident. The old woman maneuvered her arthritic joints to her silver Toyota before backing out of the drive and towards the hospital. As Mia tried to force herself to sleep every night, the Toyota's lights would flash on her wall. She would get up to watch Mrs. Charles hobble back into the house alone. A moment later, she saw a single light switch on in the kitchen as the woman measured herself half a can of cat food for the cat. Mia had not confessed that she had been the one to set the trap. She had been sure that her mother would have known immediately, but there hadn't been at least even a suggestion that Mia had placed the contraption. The rusty metal of the trap made it look like it had been out in the elements for at least a decade. At first, Mia had been too scared about being punished to say anything, but once the adults had decided that it was just an accident, she knew she had to correct them. But how? For an entire week, she lived with the sickness of guilt eating her alive. She knew the longer this went on, the more trouble she'd be in, then everyone would look at her differently. On the seventh day, the Toyota didn't leave the driveway, but was joined by two other sedans. Mia already knew why. She had been awoken that morning, just before the sun was a glimmer on the horizon, by a warm hand gently patting her on the shoulder. Her eyes opened slowly and she turned her head, expecting to see her mother. It had been her first solid sleep since the accident, but it wasn't her mother she saw. It was Mr. Charles. Gasping, Mia sat up and looked at his legs. There was no gauze, no crutches. "Mr. Charles, what are you doing here?" Mia whispered. "Hello, kiddo," he replied. I didn't mean to frighten you. I just wanted to see you. He reached out a hand to hold hers, his eyes looking bright. Are you okay? Mia's voice broke, and tears started to pool at the corners of her eyes. Oh, I'd say I'm better than okay, the old man said, letting out a small laugh. I'm sorry, Mia said, relief washing over her. I didn't mean to hurt anyone. I want to keep the bad people from getting in. Mr. Charles smiled down at her. I don't want you to worry about what happened, kiddo. It was an accident. Let's keep this one between us, okay? Mia squeezed her eyes shut. Tears spilled down her cheeks. Okay. She sniffled hard and then looked back up into his face. He looked a bit wavery. She blinked her eyes into focus. But it wasn't the tears. Mr. Charles was slowly fading, his kind smile never leaving his face until he was finally gone. Mia was left holding hands with nothing but air. Okay, she repeated to the empty room, her hand falling back to her bedside. Mr. Charles was not the first spirit to visit her bedroom, and he certainly was not the last. Now she stood stretching, looking over the 2 acres into the forest, as she wondered how something that happened over 12 years ago could still live so vividly in her brain. Every night she would set an intention of what she wanted to dream about, just like all the books her mother had gifted her for birthdays and Christmases said she should. Mia rolled her eyes and headed for the shower, but not before stopping at the full-length mirror that stood angled at the bedside bookshelf. Mia took in her frame. Her shape wasn't skinny, but it wasn't quite fat. Her gaze shifted to her face. A petite nose and almond eyes were her mother's, but from the pictures that sat at her bedside, she could see she was a carbon copy of her father. Her soft chin and dark eyes and hair, the high cheekbones. Mia knew she was average, but she didn't mind. She felt lucky. She didn't hate how she looked like most girls she went to high school with did. Her skin wasn't perfect. The curves of her body were soft and smooth. She had tiny stretch marks in all the usual places, but everything fit her perfectly. As a little girl, she would trace the small pink lines that scattered her mother's stomach and thought they were beautiful, like shiny ribbon. It blew her mind that society frowned upon them and manipulated women into spending money and time to erase all the bits and pieces that they deemed unsightly, but made them unique. The only thing that ever made her truly insecure was the darkness of her eyes. Her mother and Mallory both shared bright blue eyes and light brown hair, but Mia's irises were so deep brown they almost blended with her pupils. The kids at school used to call her witch and demon. For a few years, Mia dyed her hair and tried to wear blue contacts, but the dye job was too time-consuming and the contacts irritated her eyes, so eventually she cut her hair off and threw out the contacts. Now she fully appreciated the girl that looked back out of the mirror. Her black hair pulled around her shoulders, and the extra 20 pounds she had put on since high school settled into places she liked. If only we could have the same confidence in our teens as we do our 20s, Mia reflected. She flipped her head over and twisted her hair into a bun at the top of her head, gave herself a wink, and headed for the shower. It was time to stop procrastinating and getting back to her mundane life. She had to open the doors of the bookstore before her manager Mark lost his bananas. As her hair air dried, Mia did her makeup at record speed, a sharp winged liner and maroon lips. She opened her closet and looked for a decent outfit for the day. Most of her clothes were in earthy tones. Greens, browns, blacks. She also had a great collection of dresses, with prints, and books, and space, and other fun patterns. Chunky shoes were an essential part of her wardrobe. She decided on a black opaque tight, and her favorite black day or night dress, and adorned the outfit with a monogrammed necklace that said Daddy. Sometimes people thought it was a sexual innuendo, but Mia didn't care. It was the last item of jewelry she wore was a simple silver band that she wore around her right ring finger. The first time she'd ever felt the smooth metal of her father's ring was from outside of a small manila envelope 4 days after her father's accident. Mia woke to her mother sitting on the edge of her bed, facing the wall. She didn't stir for what seemed like ages, and only after Mia's small voice broke the air. Elizabeth turned as if in shock. Once she recovered, she pressed the envelope into Mia's hands, telling her it was hers. She had hung it from a small chain around her neck until she was a teenager, when her mother took it in to be sized. Now it fit perfectly, and she hadn't taken it off for years. The steps were cold as Mia made her way to the kitchen. She could smell the burnt Pop-Tarts before she saw Mallory's face. "Morning, baby girl," Mia called out to her sister, who was sitting at her computer, typing furiously. "Ugh," her sister grunted before looking back at the keyboard. "Wow, is the world gonna end?" Mia laughed as she grabbed an orange and began to peel it. Mallory slammed the laptop shut. "I think I give up. I'm not even kidding," Mallory stormed. She was 21 years old, and she had her sights set on law school. Having grown up in Mia's shadow, she needed to always be the best at everything. It had been easy for her in high school when she was mixed in with a group of kids from every walk of life. Ones who wanted to be anything from doctors to hairdressers, and even the ones who seemed to think smoking pot was a full-time job. It was just so easy for Mallory to stand out when she was the best back then. Now she was in a cornucopia of overachievers, where everyone had to be the best of the best in their school. She was now competing with students that were just as ambitious as she was, and who got the grades to match. The past 2 years had been a dose of the real world, and Mallory had slowly been spiraling, working harder than ever to pull the same top grades that had once come so easily to her. All this school year, she had complained about everyone in her class and how everyone and everything was just an asshole. All lawyers were assholes, and even she was becoming an asshole. Mia tousled her sister's blonde hair and pulled the glasses over her face. "Mal, you don't look like you've slept a wink." "No, I did. Last night. I mean, the night before last night." She squinted at the clock above the kitchen window. "Wednesday night." "It's Friday morning," Mia said, laughing, but observing the bags under Mallory's eyes. "You need to go to bed." "But I have class at 10, Mallory protested. "Not today, you don't," Mia replied firmly. You can afford to miss one lecture. I need to have some fun tonight and hit the bar and dance. For that, I need you, not whatever zombie you're going to be by then. Go." Mallory looked at the top of her laptop in defeat. "Okay." "Good." Mia gently pulled the laptop towards her while her sister eyed it, as if contemplating a final grab for the overheated piece of metal and plastic. "Keep an eye out for Cooper," Mal grumbled as she trudged towards the hallway. "He wouldn't come in after breakfast." It was normal for the 7-year-old golden retriever to disappear from the house for hours at a time. He loved the fresh air and sniffing out rabbits and squirrels, and always had to be coaxed back inside the house. Cooper loved being free. Mia grabbed a few granola bars, plucked her keys from the front rack. "Oh yeah," Mallory called over the banister. "Tell me if that weird girl comes in today and what she buys." "Will do." Mia gave her sister a thumbs up and headed out the door.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
That is the end of chapter one. Oh, oh, I thought it was longer. I forgot that we cut them up in half. That's really juicy. That gives you a little tiny tidbit. Are you interested? Are you? I hope you think it's magic, because I think it's magic and I think it's juicy. Kind of want to read you chapter two. I don't know. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to close this. Laptop is closed, so I can't. But guys, that is chapter one of Hollow. As I said, there's a prologue that goes before that. That is chapter one. You got a little look at Mia's life. You got a little look at Mia's world, who she is as a person. And I hope that you would like her, guys. It goes so deep. Something that is really obvious here, and I will talk about, is Mia ends up having to choose between two different families of vampires. That can be told, because that will be on the back of the book. But it's super juicy. How do we get there? How is she going to have to choose? What is going to happen to Mia? Do you think she's going to die? Why do they want her parts of their families? There's so many juicy questions that will be answered in this book, and I think that you're going to love it. But one thing I really want to talk to you about before we go right here is just goal chasing, okay? And dream chasing, and I think it's really important. I recently went to Canada's Wonderland. It's really random. And I was really blown away because I took pictures with over like 300 people, which blew my mind. But I met a woman that day. And every once in a while, I'll ask someone, you know, oh, Molly's stretching. I will ask someone, what do you like most? Like, what are you into? And people are usually like, oh, I love your sleepwalking videos, or I love your tie-dye, or I love your ghost videos. And this one woman was like, I like your drive. And that really touched me. And she's like, I like how much you've achieved. I love that you're a businesswoman and you've said you want to do these things and you just did it. And the truth is, action does mean a lot more than words, but it meant a lot to me. In these past 2 years, you know, there's been TikTok, there's been YouTube, there's been my beauty brand, now there's the podcast and the books, and I know it all seems like a lot, but I did this all in baby steps. And truth is, I am a hard worker because I don't know if it's the way I was raised or the hardships that I've been through, but I've always felt like I've had to fight extra hard to get things. And that's normal in life. You know, there's people out there where things just seem to happen for them and things fall right into their laps and they don't have to work that hard. And I have had to work really hard to get where I am. And I want you to just not give up. And I know whoever you are listening to this right now, this isn't me and thousands of other people listening to this. This is me and you. Whatever there is in your world that you want to be in 6 months or a year, I want you to know that it's possible. Everything's possible. If every single day you make one action, and I know you probably have a couple of people in your life that are going to tell you you're crazy, that are going to tell you that you're horrible, or are going to say that you're dreaming. And that takes me back to Christmas of 2019. It was probably one of the days where I literally recorded myself, because I have a video on my phone where I was like, this was one of my hardest days. I remember someone had told me that I was just playing. I had just reached like 2 million on TikTok, and they're like, oh, you're just playing, you're not going to get anywhere with this. And that same person now, who was my biggest enemy then, is now one of my biggest fans. And it's hard because it took me being successful for them to see it. But even when you have these people around you and they're saying, oh, you're dreaming, oh, you're just having fun, oh, you're just doing this, you need to look at those people and not listen to them. You need to look at those people and just be like, wow, they really don't get it. Do you know what I mean? Maybe you want to be a TikTok star. Maybe you want to have a bakery. Maybe you want to write a book. I want you to know it's all possible. And not everything has to take a lot of money. Do you know what I mean? That holds so many people back, thinking, hey, oh, I want to start a podcast, but I don't have money. Record it on your phone. Upload it to Apple. There's these baby steps. Maybe you want to learn something. You think, oh, I need to take a course. YouTube it. Anything that you want to do, there are people out there with free avenues to help teach you to be anything or anyone that you want to be. But anytime that you watch this or anytime you see me, I want you to remember that all of this stemmed from a dark place. Before I started TikTok, I didn't know who I was. And, you know, my life was hard and Adam's life was hard, and we really weren't sure what life was going to be like. But, you know, we worked so hard, and on top of that, we manifested. And I hate to be that person. I have a friend always say to me, I'm not into that manifesting shit. But when you truly look and you set your goals and you think about it and you envision yourself happening, having it and it happening, it really can help. So if you can leave today with anything, please just understand that no matter what is going on, it will get better. And no matter where you want to be, you'll get there. Just take one little step at a time. Be haunted by the good stuff. Being haunted doesn't have to be bad. I'm haunted by funny, weird bullshit, and I love it. Anyways, guys, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of The Haunted Estate. It would mean so much right now when this ends, whatever app you're in. Hey, I'm really hoping it's Apple, but whatever app that you are in, please rate and review my podcast. That's what gets us in the charts. Honestly, that is it. It's not even downloads. It is just those rating reviews. So if you want to give me 5 stars, I will grow a wiener and have a bone. I just saw a cardinal. There's a cardinal outside. There, it's a sign. I am supposed to talk about this. Adam reminded me. Other than rating and review, please check out my YouTube. That is one of the things that holding me back at this moment, guys. Everybody be blowing up on YouTube and no one likes my videos. Did you know I stay at haunted hotels? I make full ass documentaries about staying at haunted hotels. I make funny compilation videos. I did the Hot Ones challenge where I literally ate hot sauce, which this bitch right here does not do. When I tell you that my back hole, I'm sorry, Adam. Well, Adam, how much was I yelling?
Yeah, it didn't seem pleasant.
It wasn't. How do you get through eating hot chicken wings?
I don't know. Just there's built no different.
Built different. Guys, please go check out my YouTube channel. Obviously, you know I'm on TikTok. That's probably where you're from. But don't forget to check out my books. Go to, you know, link in all my bios. Go check Amazon. Search Selena Myers. We also have merch coming out pretty soon. Don't forget, this Halloween, we have a huge makeup collection coming out. So many things are coming your way. So there, selfless plug. Okay, I love you guys so much, and I hope to see you next Thursday. We are going to have Lord Court on, and we are going to be talking about what it is like to be haunted by mental illness. I think that you guys will love that episode, and I absolutely can't wait to see you guys. Don't forget, hey, share this on all the platforms if you want to. I love you guys. Stay spooky, Boo Crew. I love you. Mwah!
You can live out your MasterChef dreams when you find a professional on Angie to tackle your dream kitchen remodel. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.